This is the CAL NEH American English Dialect Recordings Collection, tape number 53, side B.
What about these work trains? Could you describe them?
What do you mean, what they done?
Yeah.
Well, when they had a slide on the road or something like that, they'd take them and haul a ditcher out there and then the ditch slide out. And then if they had any more work to do other than that, such as unloading rail, ballast, and loading up rail, and different things, just anything that they had for them to do along the line of road. They'd use them instead of regular freight train, regular scheduled freight train. Call them out on the road, maybe work for a week at a time. Call them down the road. They'd have a section man to do, stay on the train with them and do this work until they quit time, and then they'd return back to headquarters and stay at home. They didn't stay on the train that night, just the train crew was all the ones stayed with the work train overnight. And then if they had anything for us to do, why, they'd call us back out next morning to work on a train. They'd take us and load up rail, unload ballast, tires, just anything they wanted to do along the line of road. But that's what they use the work train for.
Then the count car, they
had extra gangs that located along the line of road in different places, different locations. Had a bunch of colored men. They kept on there and they'd service the line track. They'd try to put up the worst track there was along the line of road in the first place. First, they watched that and put up the worst track each man had on his territory, and then they'd change off to another man's territory. Such as a section form of towards territory. Like if I had some rough track about a mile here and didn't have enough men to take care of, they'd run them over there and maybe service up that. And then they'd send him up to the next section form and service up some for him.
Would they just have to stay on these as long until
you mean
they got the job done?
This extra gang?
On these count cars,
yeah. Yeah, they'd stay, they'd move them to say that the one done some work here, he'd be cut out here at Hattie, and then if he had to go to Alto, then they'd move him to Alto. They'd move him wherever they was going to work. And they'd have to, maybe 30 or 35 colored men. Extra form, extra gang foreman.
Did somebody prepare the food for him?
Well, he did. The extra gang foreman did that. He kept the commissary on the car. He boarded them and board stopped them for food, you know. He kept them on the car. He had shoes, gloves, overalls, and everything that they wanted right on there. Of course, he could board stop them and get his pay out of the nigger, you know.
Did you tell us about the passenger trains right there? Tell us what you know about them.
Huh?
The passenger trains.
Passenger trains.
Yeah, did you tell us what you know about them?
Well, they had passengers, they had six passenger trains here at one time on this railroad here. They had number four and come down at nine something. And number three come up at four something coming back in the afternoon. Well, then they had a seven, number one and number two. They had number one get in here about, around 5 o'clock of the morning. And that is number one. Well, then number two would come down about 7 o'clock that night coming north. Seven and eight. One of them come up about noon, coming south, and one come north down about, about 7 and 8, 9, no, about 2 o'clock, coming north. 7 and 8, 1 and 2, and 4 and 3. That's six passenger trains running at one time, three each way. North was one, three north and three south. That's up to, well, they kept that going along about in the 20s, along in the 20s. They'd have them loaded then. Mostly everybody rode passenger train then. They didn't have no cars at the end. There wasn't no highway here. And they had to use passenger train then. And all the employees had passes, you know, to ride. It didn't cost them anything the employees was working for them. Of course, one that didn't ride them bought tickets, you know. I'd buy tickets along the line of road.
Why do you think they ever cut them out through here?
Well, this year highway cut them out. These cars, you know, everybody got a car, and now this road went through. Well, it goes through the Hazard, Whitesburg, and all up in there, and all down this way. And people just got to riding cars, and mostly all that rode the passenger trains then was the pass ride. That's only, they just give the employees passes as riding, you know, there. If, like me and everybody else that worked for them, they give them a pass when they want to ride the passenger train. Any place they get one, if they couldn't, if they want to go other farther than the LN went, or they get to open any other road by requesting over another road, such as the Big Four, Chicago, North, and all them big railroads, Pennsylvania, you get to pass over any of them, but you'd have to make a different request to get that pass. You'd only have to tell them you were working for the LN, and they'd give you a pass over any of them roads if you requested.
Well, do you remember any big celebrities like presidents' wives or anything that ever come to Breathitt County?
Yes, I do. Franklin D. Roosevelt's wife come here and made a speech down here at the high school, Breathitt High. I know that. Back when he was president. Yeah, she come out, his wife did, President Roosevelt's wife, come out and made a speech over at the high school, Breathitt High School. That is long enough up in the 30s something. And then President Johnson's wife, Lady Bird, you know her. She come up here and on Lick Branch up there at Sulphur Gap, you know where that is?
Yeah.
There's a school up there that hollered from Sulphur Gap, but she went up there into that school and made a talk up there. That's President Johnson's wife. That was before he was elected president the last time. She'd come out to dinner with them fellas, them girls that day in the schoolhouse.
Yeah,
she done that. Come out to dinner with it. We talked about being to come out to dinner and she eat with them.
But Miss Roosevelt, now she came by train, didn't she?
Yeah, she came
on the passenger train.
Yeah, that's right. And Miss Johnson come in the car.
Yeah.
Come up this way in the car. Had a big crowd up there, I understand.
Do you remember, did you tell us about the abandoned tracks or tracks not being used?
Huh?
The tracks are not being used for it. Side tracks or something like that that's not being used.
What not been used, you mean?
Any tracks, yeah.
Huh?
Any abandoned tracks that's not used nor they're just side tracks now. Do you know where any are?
Yeah, and it's been abandoned?
Yeah.
Well, half of this passenger track right here at Haddington.
Boys like to have a Coke or something?
Yeah, give them boys a Coke. And they abandoned about half of this passenger track right here when they put this coal ramp in up here. About half of it out down here, about half of this passenger track been abandoned, and the one at the Wick's been abandoned, the one at Altro has, and all of Chavis.
They had deposed all these places, didn't they?
Well, they did then, but they're all out now. But yeah. Jackson's in, and I reckon that I don't know whether Crippen's in or not. They just about abandoned every one of them. Jackson, I think you've got one at Beattyville, maybe, and they've done away with this in the Haddocks, and they've one at Twick, and the one at Altro. And as far as I know, the Jackson's the only one right here in Beattyville, back this way, and Hazard. I know Crippen ain't in, though. It's out, too. Took all of them out, and all the second houses out. You see, they had three second houses here, and they sold the houses. Sold the ones at Altro, sold them quick. And at Jackson, too, that they abandoned everyone. Well, I believe these are in some of Jackson now.
Some of those old railroad houses down there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people still living down there.
Yeah, well, them are the ones that, now, these are here. There used to be three here. And three at Wick, three at Altro. And they all,
they're trying to get a little house cleaning started.
And they all done away with.
Well, where was the terminal at when you started working?
Huh?
The terminal, where was it at when you started working?
First place that you worked on the railroad, he means.
You know the terminal, what's called, that used to be, it's down Ravenna now.
Yeah.
Where was it at when you worked, when you started working?
When the headquarters of the officials was?
Mm-hmm.
At Ravenna.
Was it ever at Jackson?
No. Well, the dispatcher was there. The first dispatcher was at Jackson for a long time, right in that old house where your mother lived there.
Yeah.
He used to be right there. His name was, what makes me think, forget that. I know that dispatcher was there.
Clayton?
No. Wasn't Clayton, it was, I believe it's Roy Davis. And then they moved that out, they moved that dispatcher then back to Ravenna. And then, there's a dispatcher there whenever I went to work in 1916, I remember. And then after, for a long, long time he was there, and then they moved the headquarters to Ravenna. There ever since, and then now they moved to Latonia, Kentucky now.
When you first started work with, did they have any signals or anything on the track? Any signals on the track or lights or anything?
Yeah, they had around these, didn't have any signals like they have now, but on these switch lamps on the, where they operate the sidetrack switch, you know, those by hand then. It wasn't operated by electric like it is now. When I went to work, you hand it with your hand, just turn the switch, your hand had a lamp on top of it, and it showed red and green. When the sidetrack was turned for the head end, it showed red, and whenever it was schedule speed for the main line is green, showed green light. And when it turned and see the red light, that man is heading in the sidetrack. And they handled it by hand all them days. Just the old fashioned way of handling it by hand, kept the switch locked. And certain boys that turned the switch up here one time and let a freight train head in the switch here and if you run plumb down through here, if it had been meeting, man, it'd been destroyed. The boy just sprang the switch and told over there, and I'd see the brakeman left a lock on lock, you see, and they come along and turn the switch. They had these boys, they made him sign it, everything A to Z about that.
Their parents back getting on the railroad.
I'd like to.
They left that switch open and they had their dad and mother, dad had to sign papers about that. It wouldn't happen no more. It did. It'd be too bad. Yeah, and then when...
Oh, my boys worked on a railroad. Well, one is now. James knows one. He's a signal foreman.
James, I guess you know James, don't you?
No.
The oldest boy?
You know Gene.
Yeah, I know
Gene,
yeah.
Gene used to work on the signal for a long time and
sure
couldn't,
he
hold,
is.
Couldn't hold the job.
That's his family. That's a man long, long ago. He's at Hazard now.
That railroad crosses the, well, the
and
highway crosses up by toward Jeff. Jeff and crosses the railroad about seven times. That big highway they're putting up through Car Creek before that dam goes in.
There he is, man.
And he's up there. He's up there right now.
What's
the staff sergeant and then certain and Gene was in service too.
Yeah.
You know old Marie, don't you?
Marie
and Daly.
Well, these gates you was talking about that put over, you know, the railroad.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear tell of one of them not working or something and causing somebody to ever get hit or anything?
No.
Stop guard, you talking about.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't work.
You mean these gates got in now?
These things that automatically work, you know.
No, I never have known them have an accident in that. They generally work. If they don't, the dispatcher knows that right now when one of them ain't working. They know it right down there at Ravenna. And it shows up on that board some way or another if them don't work, why it won't be an hour till they'll have a signal maintainer working on it. Only thing, sometimes one of these boards will let down about the time a car comes along, maybe it'll break one of them all.
Yeah.
They done that a while back right up there. You know, one is this here, Troy Maloney, you know him? He had a bread truck, and he come through here, and he wouldn't have done it to purpose, you see. But about the time that he went across there, by that board come down, and the train is on the block down there, and he come down, and he is under it a little bit, and he got scared and stopped, and tried, and the board come down on his hood of his car, and he see he had to do something, and he said he was afraid to go on across, and he backed up, and he caught somewhere and broke that board, and he backed up. He got in the clear.
Oh, but it scared him. Down.
Scared him, man.
And it scared him, Molly.
It hung on the hood of his car, see, and he backed up, but broke it. He didn't do it intentionally.
You remember Wes Hobos in that taxi? Man used to drive taxis much. Wes Hobos. But he trained off Tim clear off that one.
And they come here and put that board back next day. I know that. He might have had to pay for it. I don't know whether he did or not.
But damaged his car?
No, it didn't hurt the car a bit. But I don't know whether they made him pay for the board or not. Of course, Troy didn't do it. The company he was working for might have done it. I don't know.
Was you around when they started building the railroad?
Yeah.
Through here?
Yes, sir.
About what year was that?
About 1909, 8 or 9. About 8 or 9 when it started here.
Well, could you kind of tell me about it? Tell me some of the financial aspects and who supported it, by how much it cost, why you think it was built, and stuff like that.
Well, they just had different all kinds of people here, niggers, Italians, and everything else working on, white men, niggers.
Yeah.
And had crews located all along the line, you know, and they had lit out in 3 miles contract, you know. A contractor would have about 3 miles of grade and another man about 3 miles. And I worked on it myself on the grade. I worked on the grade at $1.50 a day. What I got. And that meant 10 hours a day. And that meant work too. Had these dump carts and mules to haul the dirt with to make these fields. And had a bunch of Italians to build these cubs. Across where the road, the field went over, you know, these hollers. know, they went and surveyed the road out where it went, and then they cut the right of way and then started grading. They'd drill holes all night and shoot them over day. It'd take, however, these old big Cherndale, it'd take about 3 men to handle it, you know, and drill a hole about 30 foot deep all along the side of one of them steep bluffs. It was around the cliff, and then they'd load with, put some dynamite and spring a hole down the bottom. And then they'd load it with powder. And they had a battery that they'd load a string of them, maybe 8 or 10.
Wait just a minute and I'll get them boys to move the car. Wait just a minute and I'll get the boys to move the car.
They'd have 8 or 10.
Holes
in time line up around the back, and they'd have a battery and pull them all off one, just turn the whole thing over.
Yeah.
Shoot off the grade, brother, wouldn't be no shoveling to do. And I was working when they done that. And after they got the road graded off, why, they started then to lay in the track. Started into Jackson, coming this way. Started from Jackson here at Dumont, where it starts from. Went on to Macrawley. And then he started come through there, the big extra gang, and they'd, I watched them lay the rail. They'd, they had straps that went under the rail. They'd lay a section of rail out here and put straps on it to hold the gauge, you know what I mean. They had the tires, they'd lay it on the tires first. And then they'd pull that work train out to ease him right out on it. And them straps would hold the gate, don't you see? And they'd have some buggies on that work train, backing up flat, backing them up. And they'd have a bunch of niggers who get 18 tires on a dump car, and they'd go and dump them right on there. And them niggers would grab them, run right out the other way with them, and scatter them out. Then they'd lay another section of rail on that and put them straps on there, and crowd right in behind, just spiking it up. Just spiking it up right behind them, behind the train. And they'd have an old thing that run them rails right out on, lift it right out there, piece of machinery. And then there's a crew back behind it unloading sand and putting it up, right behind. That's across from where I was raised, up here at Howard's Creek, you know where that is. And they'd put it up just right behind the work train, and the first train that ever arrived in Hazard was 1912. I've got the picture of it. And that's the first train that ever arrived in Hazard, 1912. 324 was the engine.
Yeah.
And the people that was all over the top of that cap, them people that are sight for them, you know, in a Hazard,
yeah,
to see that train, and they got all over the top of that train and had the pictures all over that, they piled all over the top of it. It sure was. I've got that picture here somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, they like for us to kind of look at some pictures too, you know, you'd have and stuff like that, if you don't mind showing.
If I can find that, then I'll ask my wife if she knows where it is. Hey, Beth.
Don't want to.
Lose.
If we make an attempt to do something, we say we.
Try.
If someone throws you a ball, you try to.
Catch.
To hit something with a rock, we have to.
Throw.
Little boys play baseball in the little.
League.
If a child has lost his ball, we tell him to go.
Look.
They say people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw.
Stones.
If you'd like to have something, you might say, I desire it, or I. Yeah.